This is the New World Report. I'm John Batch with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, just returned from Peru. And it is good to update what we know about the Peru political situation, except for my scorecard is all marked up, so I'm going to depend upon Evan. The last time we spoke, Evan, the president, Pedro Castillo, who was elected on a populist wave in a tightly contested election with the daughter of a previous president and the business community suspicious of Pedro Castillo's ability to manage an economy and a recovery at the same time. He is from the ranks of unionized teachers. He identified not only with populism, but with the indigenous tribes who have been badly treated or not well served by many accounts in Peru. He vowed not to live in the palace. He does live there. And over these last months, he was elected in 21. He's faced his own legislature's attempt to remove him from office. Most recently, in office, speaking as the president, he has resigned from his own party, Peru Libre. That party is led by a man named Vladimir Cerrón, whom you've educated me about to understand is a well-trained, sophisticated actor in the world of the populist left, even Marxist populist left. These labels can lose meaning if you use them too much. The vice president is closely associated with Mr. Cerrón and remains a member of Peru Libre. We spoke of Castillo's resignation just last week. Right now, my understanding is that the resignation may be a product of the plan by Mr. Cerrón. How so? What is the story? How does Cerrón gain by having the man he helped elect back away from his own party?
Well, this is certainly a complex story, John. And as you pointed out, Peru is in the midst of a very worrisome process of deepening political crisis, which reinforces and is reinforced by its deepening economic crisis, which, COVID-19 was a factor, the increasing prices and the pressures that come from inflationary, increases in food and in petroleum prices from Russia's invasion of Ukraine, as well as various other factors. But in the current situation, so the crisis that Castillo is facing really is only the latest chapter. But essentially what happened is that in the middle of a series of resignations of previous presidents over corruption and other scandals, you had a election in which Peru has a two-tiered system. And so it had a large number of candidates that ran in the first round. And it surprisingly came down to a leader who represented really kind of the old party structure, the Popular Force Party, Keiko Fujimori, and the new leader and a relatively unknown person, Pedro Castillo, who came to represent the neglected interior of the country, the jungle and the mountain regions and a lot of their mining interests and a lot of the interests of indigenous people that you find there. But essentially what happened is that this particular party, which had been an obscure party, Free Peru, Peru Libre, it was headed by Vladimir Cerrón, who was a Marxist and Cuba-trained doctor, actually Cuba-trained neurosurgeon. But Cerrón had been convicted of corruption, so he couldn't actually run on the party ticket. So he chose somebody that he thought would be a good candidate, but who was inexperienced enough that he could control and manipulate. And that's how Pedro Castillo got to be the head of the ticket. But Cerrón also kept his own ideological ally, the vice president, Dina Boluarte, as the number two person on the ticket. And so what you have now is a situation in which Castillo's had multiple problems. He's had 47 different ministers, four prime ministers. And so as the crisis intensifies, what's happening right now is that Castillo is accused of multiple different corruption scandals. There's one over taking bribes from four different Chinese companies, something that they call the China Corruption Club scandal. There's one over improper promotions in the military, one over improper promotions for money in the armed force, in the police. There's another scandal in which he's accused of improperly trying to give away Peruvian territory to give Bolivian access to the sea. But in the midst of all of this scandal and clamor for his resignation, there's a question of under the Peruvian constitution, this is where it gets even more complicated. If the parliament basically removes Castillo for what they call moral incapacity by a two-thirds vote, then it goes to his vice president, which would be Dina Boluarte. And so if it occurs in that order, the thought is that this would basically put basically replace Castillo with somebody who is much more amenable to manipulation by Cerón, much more allied with Cerón than Castillo.
We have a minute, Professor. Please continue.
So some people think that that Cerón kicking Castillo out of the party is part of his move to basically, if they get rid of Castillo, then Bolarte becomes the new president running with Cerón. There are two other options. One option is that the conservatives basically first kick out Bolarte and then kick out Castillo, and then the head of the parliament that they're electing this week becomes the president, which would be a kind of center-right maneuver. And there is a third plot in which basically the pragmatic centrists basically get rid of Cerón and start working with Castillo despite his corruption. And this becomes kind of the kind of continuation of rule by the kind of corrupt pragmatic middle. And it's not clear who is maneuvering against who and who is going to betray who and which one of those three scenarios in the coming weeks will play out. But this is
Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.